right, it's 9:03, time on Jimmer Radio Weather. Right now in Fleming, it is 50 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF, March 18th, 2016. Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 59. Winds west-northwest to 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mostly clear and a low of 31 for tonight. Winds northwest at 5 to 10. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon. A high near 50. Winds light and variable. We're going to get some snow Saturday night. Accumulation is less than 1 inch. And then that's going to go into Sunday morning. We'll give way to a mixture of rain and snow in the afternoon. A high of 36. 1 to 3 inches of snow is expected. Chance of precipitation 60%. Snow showers continue through Sunday night. Partly cloudy on Monday the 21st, the first day of spring, with a few flurries and snow showers possible. On Tuesday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and a high of 48. Wednesday, showers in the morning, some clearing in the afternoon, 59 degrees. So we get back to spring. During spring, how about that? Temperatures in our area, 47 up in Tewksbury, 47 over in Frenchtown, 51 down in Ringgost. That is Good Morning Hunterin, Hunter Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HunterShimmer.com. That is the harp music of Andrew Felix, and she is here with me in the studio along with Maestro Smoley, and we are going to talk about the Riverside Sinfonia that's going to be performing a concert this weekend. And so it's a pleasure to have these two folks in here, and we'll discuss all about the music and everything else. So I want to bring Maestro in. Good morning, Maestro. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure to have you here. I told you off air, I learned and was trained in music, professional classical music and jazz and rock. So I do everything to a certain extent. I'm sure you'll blow me away with your knowledge and experience, but I'll try and hold my own. Pleasure to have you. I love doing this because we don't get enough opportunity to speak about classical music and classical music opportunities, and I think it's one of the most one of the best experiences that very few people really understand and appreciate. So looking forward to having your conversation. So tell us a little about you and your experience as a conductor.
Well, I was born in Poland and came to this country in 1987 as a violinist and a member of sort of an internationally recognized string quartet, mm-hmm. named Penderecki String Quartet. After leaving the group, I started studying conducting, which was my dream since I was very, very little. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I graduated from the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, with a degree, doctorate degree in conducting, and it was very fortunate to conduct professionally ever since. Right. I actually started working with Rochester Philharmonic while a student at Eastman. And my first full-time job was with New Jersey Symphony. I was an assistant conductor there at the time when Zdenek Makal was the music director, mm-hmm. around 1994. And at the same time, a little orchestra that is based in Henderson County and Bucks County called me if I would be interested in becoming their auditioning for a position of a music director. It was 1993 or 1994. Mm-hmm. I came down for a couple of concerts, and then I was offered the position in 1994, and I've been music director of the organization since that time.
Wow. All right. So you've been local for a majority of the time. What brought you, was it going to Eastman that brought you to the United States?
No, the career as a violinist and as a member of the string quartet brought us. We were awarded a residency at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, which at that time had a very prestigious chamber music program.
Yes.
So I came with the string quartet over there. We studied there. We had a manager in New York. We toured all over the country. Uh-huh. But... violin was just, I think, a step on my musical career on the path that eventually led me to conducting.
Conducting.
So I lived in New Jersey for a number of years at the time when I was working with New Jersey Symphony. Then I was a professor of conducting at Northwestern University in Chicago for some time. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Houston, where I was a resident conductor with the Houston Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
I still live in Houston, but in the meantime, I had a major job in Europe conducting Lutosławski Philharmonic in Poland, and currently I'm music director of two organizations, Riverside Symphonia here, and a pretty big orchestra in Lafayette, Louisiana, called Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, Lafayette, Louisiana, which is about 3 hours drive from Houston, and I travel quite a bit around the world. I'm a guest professor at Tianjin Conservatory in China, so I'm enjoying my travels and my music, and of course Riverside Symphonia has a very warm and special place for me in my career and my life.
I'm glad you mentioned the word warm. When you started out in the University of Wisconsin in Rochester, you were in very cold climes, and then you eventually got down to Louisiana and Houston. I heard something about Chicago. What did you do in Chicago?
I was a professor of conducting.
Where?
At Northwestern University in Evanston, Chicago.
What time?
Exactly between 1996 and 2000.
Okay. Guess where I went to college? Northwestern University.
Really?
Yes, I studied with John Painter.
Of course I know John.
I studied conducting with John Painter, so yes. Well, it's a small world now.
Right.
That's great. Wow, excellent. Great to have you here. And then we have Anju. Anju Felix was playing the beautiful introduction. And Anju, you are a student at Hohen Central Regional High School, right?
Yep.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad Superintendent Steffner was let you out. She's a good friend of mine, and she always lets students come. How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. All right. How long have you been playing harp?
For 6 years.
What made you decide that you wanted to play harp?
It's actually a funny story. In kindergarten, the teacher was going over all the different instruments in the orchestra. And I gravitated toward the harp.
Uh-huh.
But my parents were really confused because they didn't know how I figured out this instrument. So after like a year of persisting them, they finally like let me play it. So now I'm here. Yep.
When you say figured it out, how did you get your hands on a harp?
I think we bought my first harp from the Virginia Harp Center.
Uh-huh.
And now I play the pedal harp. Yep.
Wow. It's not a typical choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So what makes you gravitate to, and I'm really surprised, and I'm sure Maestro Somogyi would explain as well, it's not something that is typically offered at the age that you're talking about.
Yeah, it did take us a while to look for a teacher, but I think I really liked the instrument because it was unique.
Mm-hmm.
So not many people play it, so I that's why I liked it, yeah.
Right. Now, you mentioned it's a pedal. It's 9:03, time for Home Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 50 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF, March 18th, 2016. Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 59. Winds west-northwest to 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mostly clear and a low of 31 for tonight. Winds northwest at 5 to 10. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon. A high near 50. Winds light and variable. We're going to get some snow Saturday night. Accumulation is less than 1 inch.
And then that's going to go into Sunday morning. We'll give way to a mixture of rain and snow in the afternoon, a high of 36. 1 to 3 inches of snow is expected. Chance of precipitation, 60%. Snow showers continue through Sunday night. Partly cloudy on Monday, the 21st, the first day of spring, with a few flurries and snow showers possible. On Tuesday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and a high of 48. Wednesday, showers in the morning, some clearing in the afternoon, 59 degrees. So we get back to spring during spring. How about that? Temperatures in our area, 47 up in Tewksbury, 47 over in Frenchtown, 51 down in Ringos. That is Good Morning Hunterin, Hunter Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HunterChamber.com. That is the harp music of Anju Felix, and she is here with me in the studio along with Maestro Smoley, and we are going to talk about the Riverside Sinfonia that's going to be performing a concert this weekend. And so it's a pleasure to have these two folks in here, and we'll discuss all about the music and everything else. So I want to bring Maestro in. Good morning, Maestro. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure to have you here. I told you off air, I learned and was trained in music, professional classical music and jazz and rock. So I do everything to a certain extent. I'm sure you'll blow me away with your knowledge and experience, but I'll try and hold my own. Pleasure to have you. I love doing this because we don't get enough opportunity to speak about classical music and classical music opportunities, and I think it's one of the most one of the best experiences that very few people really understand and appreciate. So looking forward to having your conversation. So tell us a little about you and your experience as a conductor.
Well, I was born in Poland and came to this country in 1987 as a violinist and a member of sort of an internationally recognized string quartet, mm-hmm. named Penderecki String Quartet. After leaving the group, I started studying conducting, which was my dream since I was very, very little. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I graduated from the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, with a degree, doctorate degree in conducting. And it was very... very fortunate to conduct professionally ever since.
Right.
I actually started working with Rochester Philharmonic while a student at Eastman. And my first full-time job was with New Jersey Symphony. I was an assistant conductor there at the time when Zdenek Makal was the music director, mm-hmm. around 1994. And at the same time, a little orchestra that is based in Henderson County and Bucks County called me if I would be interested in becoming their auditioning for a position of a music director. It was 1993 or 1994. Mm-hmm. I came down for a couple of concerts, and then I was offered the position in 1994, and I've been music director of the organization since that time.
Wow. All right. So you've been local for a majority of the time. What brought you, was it going to Eastman that brought you to the United States?
No, the career as a violinist and as a member of the string quartet brought us. We were awarded a residency at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, which at that time had a very prestigious chamber music program.
Yes.
So I came with the string quartet over there. We studied there. We had a manager in New York. We toured all over the country. Uh-huh. But violin was just, I think, a step on my musical career on the path that eventually led me to conducting. So I lived in New Jersey for a number of years. At the time when I was working with New Jersey Symphony, then I was a professor of conducting at Northwestern University in Chicago for some time. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Houston, where I was a resident conductor with the Houston Symphony. Mm-hmm. I still live in Houston, but in the meantime, I had a major job in Europe conducting Lutosławski Philharmonic in Poland. Mm-hmm. And currently, I'm music director of two organizations, Riverside Symphonia here and a pretty big orchestra in Lafayette, Louisiana, called Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, Lafayette, Louisiana, which is about 3 hours drive from Houston, and I travel quite a bit around the world. I'm a guest professor at Tianjin Conservatory in China, so I'm enjoying my travels and my music, and of course Riverside Symphonia has a very warm and special place mm-hmm. for me in my career and my life.
I'm glad you mentioned the word warm. When you started out in the University of Wisconsin in Rochester, you were in very cold climes, and then you eventually got down to Louisiana and Houston. I heard something about Chicago. What did you do in Chicago?
I was a professor of conducting.
Where?
At Northwestern University in Evanston, Chicago.
What time?
Exactly between 1996 and 2000.
Okay. Guess where I went to college? Northwestern University.
Really?
Yes, I studied with John Painter.
Of course I know John.
I studied conducting with John Painter, yeah. So yes. Well, it's a small world now. Right. That's great. Wow, excellent. Great to have you here. And then we have Anju. Anju Felix was playing the beautiful introduction. And Anju, you are a student at Hunter Central Regional High School, right?
Yep.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad Superintendent Steffner was let you out. She's a good friend of mine, and she always lets students come. How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. All right. How long have you been playing harp?
For 6 years.
What made you decide that you wanted to play harp?
It's actually a funny story. In kindergarten, the teacher was going over all the different instruments in the orchestra. And I gravitated toward the harp.
Uh-huh.
But my parents were really confused because they didn't know how I figured out this instrument. So after like a year of persisting them, they finally like let me play it. So now I'm here. Yep.
When you say figured it out, how did you get your hands on a harp?
I think we bought my first harp from the Virginia Harp Center.
Uh-huh.
And now I play the pedal harp. Yep.
Wow. It's not a typical choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So what makes you gravitate to, and I'm really surprised, and I'm sure Maestro Somogyi would explain as well. It's not something that is typically offered at the age that you're talking about.
Yeah, it did take us a while to look for a teacher, but I think I really liked the instrument because it was unique. Mm-hmm. So not many people play it, so I that's why I liked it, yeah.
Right. Now, you mentioned it's a pedal harp, and so I don't think people understand exactly the technique that you have to use with regard to the pedals. So could you give us a little bit of an explanation as to how you play the music and how you have to make adjustments for certain notes and scales?
So for piano, you have black keys and white keys.
Right.
The white keys are natural notes,
right.
And the black keys are sharp and flat.
Mm-hmm.
So for harp, you have three positions for the pedals. The middle position is like natural on the piano. The downmost position is sharp, and then the upmost position is flat.
Okay. So you have to make those adjustments on the fly.
Yep.
So when you decide that you're playing a certain piece, you have to have the pedal in a certain position, and then when a note is outside of that scale, you have to make a quick adjustment with the pedal and your finger at the same time.
True, yep.
And if you don't do that, what happens?
You sound wrong.
You sound wrong, okay. So, excellent. So, what school did you go to that had the opportunity to play harp early and learn harp? You said it was one of your school.
I didn't learn this, like, the first time I've ever played harp in school, like, with an orchestra inside of the school is actually at Hunterdon Central.
Okay.
My older school didn't have an orchestra. I studied with a private teacher, yeah.
Okay, but you said you when you first got exposed to making a choice of music, how did you decide, who was giving you the ability and the experience to be able to start with harp? Was that was a school, or that was a certain group that you were affiliated with?
No, it was more of like a personal decision, like an at-home decision. Yeah.
All right. Wow. That's very impressive. I'm sorry, I called you Smoji. It's Smoli. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. So, Maestro, so now the Riverside Sinfonia has a legacy of trying to include student soloists. So how does that all work? There's a contest, a competition?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, the orchestra was, oh, maybe I didn't say that, orchestra was started in 1990,
mm-hmm.
and the first music director and founder was a wonderful musician by the name of John Michael Caprio,
mm-hmm.
who was also a music director at the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. I became the second conductor in 1994, and unfortunately, John Michael Caprio died 3 years later in 1997.
Right.
So, for a number of reasons, one of them was honoring John Michael Caprio and his dedication to music education, and also filling a need and void, and something that I personally felt was very important. We established a biannual young artist competition, and we named it after John Michael Caprio, so we called it Caprio,
right.
Young Artist Competition. And the first edition was in 1998, and every 2 years, we are having those contests that we invite students from Tri-State area by certain age,
mm-hmm.
To participate. And the winner always is awarded an opportunity to be a soloist with the Riverside Sinfonia during one of the subscription concerts. It's usually during the Christmas concert, which is more of a family-oriented musical event. Very often, even the second place, a contestant gets another opportunity to play at some other occasion. So I think it offers both an opportunity to play publicly and have a reason to prepare for a special event, which always motivates us to practice more and mm-hmm. be better. And then I think it really can help you to jumpstart your career. We had some wonderful winners in the last 16 years. Some of them have really major positions with major orchestras around the country. So it was a very valid and important initiative.
Now, the Riverside Sinfonia, that's made up of musicians, professional musicians in a certain area, or are they asked or invited from other performing groups as well?
No, this is a sort of small regional orchestra that has its own roster of players. You mm-hmm. become tenured member after winning an audition, which is very often quite competitive,
right.
And then after 2 year trial, you receive a tenure and became sort of a rostered member of the orchestra. And we have the same, pretty much the same group of professional musicians. Sometimes the orchestra is larger, sometimes smaller, depending
sure.
on the repertoire. Of course, mm-hmm. those musicians do play with other organizations,
right.
such as Princeton Symphony, and some of them are serving with Philadelphia Orchestra or Metropolitan Opera.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our own core group of musicians that we play with.
And where is the concerts typically held?
Well, for 25 years, our home was the Church of St. John's in Lambertville, New Jersey.
Okay.
Last year, we had to move to a different location, and we started playing at St. Martin's Church in New Hope on the other side
mm-hmm.
of the river. However, we still play in a variety of other locations, most notably during the summer. We have a large outdoor concert in Tinicum Park.
Right.
And we are planning a concert in Trenton, New Jersey, Trenton Planetarium, Capitol grounds. But I think our official home as of now is St. Martin's Church okay. in New Hope.
And the amount of concerts that you typically put in an annual calendar?
It depends. Often depends on the budget, but I think you'll have between 5 or 6 programs a year, sometimes more.
All right. Well, Andrew's going to take us out of into a commercial break, and then we're going to talk more about Andrew and her experience in growing up playing the harp. So let's go. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon. HunterChamber.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hidean Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hidean Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hidean Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HunterdonShipper.com. We got live intro and exit music from Andrew Felix. We're talking to her and Maestro Smoley about Riverside Sinfonia, and it's great to have this conversation and all that's going on at this point. So, Maestro, so we talked a little bit about the Riverside Sinfonia, the musicians, and how this is a biannual competition. So when the I think you kind of gave it to me, but I just want to emphasize it. When did it decide that you wanted to actually still bring in the young musicians and give them the opportunity? How did that idea gel?
Well, it's sort of a common practice among many orchestras, both in the United States and all over the world, to have some sort of a competition for young and aspiring musicians and give them opportunity to perform side by side with professional musicians, either in the form of a youth orchestra playing side by side with professional orchestra, or soloists playing with the orchestra, and usually those soloists are being selected through a competitive process. So it wasn't a totally original idea, but I think something very logical and needed, and we started doing it in 1998.
So you took over, you started getting involved, you had about 4 years of work with it, and then at that point, I'm sure after some other organizational and cultural adjustments you were making with Riverside Sinfonia, you felt that it was the next step.
Yes.
Logical next step. So was there a little bit of trepidation getting involved in it, trying to get it organized, making sure it was going to be the quality that you were expecting?
Of course, you never know exactly what the end process is, but given the amount of young, talented people that live in the area and study music, and the fact that, you know, within 1 hour drive, or maybe 1.5 hour drive, you have some of the most wonderful conservatories and music schools in the world, you know, including Curtis or Juilliard, et cetera, I never worried about interest and quality of the applicants, and all the competition that we organized so far, and I believe 9 of them proved that the level was indeed very high, and almost everybody who got to the final stage was capable and competent to stand in front of the orchestra and play a solo part, which is amazing.
And so when you all right, so you made the decision to do this. Now that you had to organize the actual competition process, did you borrow that from another process, or did you make some adjustments on your own?
No, I think that the process is pretty straightforward and logical. You advertise with the local music schools, with the local teachers, and teachers' newsletters, just to make sure that people who are involved in education and the students itself are aware. Mm-hmm. You set the guidelines in terms of type of repertoire, type of instruments. At the beginning, we couldn't use piano, for example, because just logistically in our situation, St. John, we couldn't easily incorporate piano as a solo instrument. Now we can do that, and St. Martin. You decide on the age and the geographical area from which you draw, and you advertise, and then the process moves forward.
And then these folks have to perform where first? When you send out the flyer, what's their process?
They are required to submit a recording.
Okay.
And we have a panel of judges that listens to all the recordings, and we don't know their names. We don't know who is who. We're just listening to the excerpts. We judge them in some simple numerical system, and the top 8 or 9 in this case are being awarded to perform a public concert, which is being again judged by different set of judges, and this is what was happening tomorrow.
Okay.
And then the winner of tomorrow's competition is our featured soloist next season.
Next season at the Christmas concert.
Yes.
Excellent. So, Andrew, how did you learn about the opportunity here, Riverside Sinfonia, and the competition?
As the maestro said, there were several newsletters sent out, and one of those I was given by my at-home orchestra, the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra. Mm-hmm. It was a sponsored newsletter, and that's how I heard about it, yep.
And forgive me for asking this, but what made you say, I got to do this? What was in your competitive DNA that says, I'm worthy, I want to take this on?
I think I've reached an age where I need to get more involved in the musical world. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the first steps for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about it, yep.
Neat. Now, once again, so you learned about it. You said, all right, I want to take this on. Now, Maestro said you got to submit a recording. So what was the process that you went through with your teacher, perhaps your private teacher, that decided the particular piece that you were going to submit for a recording?
Well, I started a concerto over the summer, and as soon as I finished it, my piano teacher, he also has a sound recording booth, mm-hmm. so we went straight there and we recorded.
Wow. How long did it take you to get it the way you wanted it to?
It's probably 7 or 8 takes.
It's a lot different when you have to make it perfect and fit it all together. Which brings up an interesting question, Maestro, because she had the opportunity to use a recording studio. It has to be one take. You can't do the editing. We wouldn't allow the editing and the punch editing in a recording, right?
Well, when you listen to a recording, sometimes you can tell it was edited, sometimes you can't, depending on how sophisticated instruments in terms of recording you are using and who is the recording engineer. But I think even when you have the ability to sort of massage the product or not, a experienced ear is able to judge the quality of the performance regardless.
Sure. Yeah, it comes through, no doubt.
Right.
And there's just so much piecemeal you can do before it degrades to a point. So, all right, you put this recording together and you sent it out, and what was your thought process? When were you waiting to hear the next step? And then you had to go, when you received that notification that you were going to have to perform now, in this concert tomorrow, what was your thought process?
I was really happy and sad, like nervous at the same time, mm-hmm. because you know, I would have to prepare and actually perform in front of the judges and be judged on the piece. Uh-huh. But I really liked the challenge, and I'm really excited for it.
Excellent. So now, when did you learn that you were going to perform in this particular concert that's taking place?
I believe the beginning of this month, yeah.
All right. So you knew a few weeks ago. And Maestro, now, what's the process? You said 8 students?
Exactly 9.
Nine. So that's 9 different pieces. Are these full pieces?
No, I think we need to find a time frame which is fair and doable, both in terms of being able to audition and listen to 8 or 9 players, and also giving the musicians enough time to show their abilities and somehow work with the repertoire, you know. Mm-hmm. There's some concertos that are, you know, 1 hour long and have 3 movements. Yeah. There are some concertos that are 10 minutes long and everything in between. So we set the parameter between 10 or 13 minutes, trying to give everybody a fair chance. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can find a short concerto or solo piece that is exactly of that length. Sometimes you just take an excerpt of a concerto. You have a pianist playing. Right. Just first movement of a Beethoven concerto, etc. Just trying to give everybody more or less the same amount of time within a reasonable frame.
Sure. Now, you're choosing the pieces?
No, the repertoire was up to the contestants. Some of them had more than one to offer, and
okay.
I would make a decision also based on what it's aesthetically pleasing to the audience tomorrow. You don't want to have a 2 Beethoven piano concertos, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Or especially if sometimes the students decided to play the same piece. So then you try to change the program just a little bit to also give the program the right flow and balance and contrast.
A completely other aspect to performance programming is you had 9 performers, you got multiple submissions of what they were deciding to play, and you're somehow trying to make it enjoyable for your concert goers
exactly.
at the same time.
Exactly.
And it makes sense. We wouldn't want to have an avant-garde 21st century piece with Beethoven all the time. Mm-hmm. Or at least we want to have an intermission anyway. So, Anju, what did you pick? What were your choices?
It was between 2 different concertos. The first one, which is what I picked, Concerto in D Major by Vivaldi. Mm-hmm. It's a more Baroque piece, and aria in classic styling by Grangini, which is from the Romantic period.
All right. So we got 2 different centuries there.
Yeah.
You've only been doing this for so long. How do you even digest the difference between the Baroque period and the Renaissance period? What's your teacher go through to try and teach you the techniques that apply to those? Because it's completely different. And I don't know if you've been exposed to all that yet. The techniques, how you interpret the music, because it happens to be a certain piece, you have to do something different. How do you go through that with your teacher?
I feel like now I really do enjoy playing classical music. Mm-hmm. So I understand like the personality of each piece, and you know, I turn on the metronome every single day and I work through it. So I think that's what gives it character.
Sure. Now, Maestro, you've made your programming choices, and how much practice time do you work with the Sinfonia at first before they get involved, and then after that, when you introduce the 9 players, I'm sure they're not showing up on the stage for the first time tomorrow. So how much practice time are you giving them to make everybody comfortable and feel they're going to do their best?
Well, they are given just a basic parameter. This is the competition. This is the time you need to show up, and that's what you play. We're going to be judged. Then we have a nice reception, and we award 3 prizes. And they are, in a way, being treated like young professionals, you know.
Wow.
There's no any involvement between me and them except for the interview today with Andrei. So,
neat. is there the orchestra, the Sinfonia, is playing?
Tomorrow they are appearing only with the piano accompaniment.
Oh, only piano. Okay.
And then the winners play with the orchestra.
Sinfonia. Yes. All right. That's where I was losing it. So is it the same piano accompaniment person, or they bring their own?
They bring their own.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been practicing with your pianist?
We've been practicing every Sunday after church this month, yeah.
Wow. And you've only known for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Impressive. So what did you choose?
Concerto in D major.
All right. Are we going to spoil it if you give us an excerpt, or is that going to, or do you want to do the other one so we don't have Maestro Smoli affected by your first performance?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would love to play.
She's free to play whatever you want.
She's free to play. Well, go ahead. Give us an excerpt. Let me move the microphone for you. All right. This is Anju Felix playing a little bit of her performance, which will take place tomorrow. I get it. That was Baroque, right?
Yep.
All right. So what was that piece?
Concerto in D major by Vivaldi.
By Vivaldi. Okay. Excellent. And we all know he wrote the Four Seasons, and we're getting close to spring, so excellent. It was so beautiful. That was just wonderful. Now, how long have you been practicing that on your own?
I started learning in summer, so, yeah, since summer.
Been a while, yeah. I don't, like I said, could you give me a hint as to how many strings are on that?
On this one, there are 44.
44. So for those of you that play a guitar with 6 strings or 12 strings, you just have to add a couple, and you might be on the right, on the same page there. Plus throwing in the pedal, which most guitarists don't have a chance at doing at this point. It's just wonderful. Really, really well done. So, Maestro, the concert tomorrow, these 9 performers are going to come in, and they're going to go up and perform this. The judges, how are they selected?
We try to find people that are professional musicians of good reputation,
mm-hmm.
who will be impartial, and who are willing to donate their time to help us with
Excellent.
The process. So there will be 3 judges. I'm one of them.
Oh.
Then we have a wonderful violinist, Elizabeth Pitcairn,
mm-hmm.
and pianist Gabriela Imra. So we have a pianist, violinist, conductor, trying to give a kind of different angle of expertise to music, and we should arrive with, hopefully, good decisions.
Now, this is not a blind judging now. You're going to see the whole performance.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Does anything from the previous judging incorporate into it, or is this a clean slate?
No, it's a clean slate. There are some people that participated. We have one student who participated before as a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Did not win the competition. She's trying again, which is perfectly
mm-hmm.
fine. There could have been some students who were trying the first round, and maybe they tried before. I don't know that because I don't really
mm-hmm.
know the names. I'm just listening to music and
sure.
without any prejudice, yep. deciding the quality of the performance rather than looking at the name.
Yep. No, I've been in competitions back when I was your age, and one day you have it, and one day it just isn't the best. So you get back in and do your best the next time. So, yeah, I was in the regional and all state and all that type of stuff. So give us a hint as to all the different performances that will take place tomorrow.
It's a very interesting group of young artists, a variety of instruments, and very interesting repertoire. We have harp, mm-hmm. as we know. We have a flute player who is going to do Bach flute concerto. We have an oboe player who is doing part of Richard Strauss concerto for oboe mm-hmm. and strings, of course, in the version with piano. We have two violinists. One of them will do part of Tchaikovsky violin concerto. The other one will do Gypsy Airs by Pablo Sarasate. Very difficult, challenging program. And then we have two pianists. One of them is doing Beethoven, part of Beethoven concerto, and another, I believe, Prokofiev. So it's a wonderful gamut of repertoire, different instruments. Oh, I have a saxophone player. I have a saxophone player
really?
who does one movement of Glazunov concerto for classical saxophone and orchestra in the original and piano tomorrow. So really wonderful gamut of instrument, yep. Musical colors and composers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't get a lot of saxophone classical pieces. They're just not out there. But that's great. So we got a whole